to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. More than 65 million Americans right now are serving as a caregiver. If you're one of them, you're in the right place. And if you're not one of them, you're in the right place. Because if you love somebody, you're going to be one. If you live long enough, you're going to need one. So we all got some skin in this game. That said, it leads to several questions, which is, how are you doing? How are you holding up as a caregiver? What's going on with you? The purpose of this program is to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. And I'm bringing 40 years of hard-won insights to offer you a lifeline in the midst of whatever you're dealing with. The learning curve is pretty steep. If you're new to this, if you're just a few years into this, it's still a pretty steep learning curve. Do you have time for that? Or would you like to glean from somebody who has already logged the time? And that's where I come in to help you develop a healthier path as a caregiver, because healthy caregivers make better caregivers. This was moving week this week. I got to admit, can I indulge for just a moment? Would you bear with me? I've been remodeling this cabin that we have here on this property here in Montana. Gracie's dad bought this. I was just talking with him this week, and you know, he was telling the story of him buying this piece of property. He came out here to hunt for many years, and he fell in love with the place. Now, this was long before people started coming out to Montana from New York and L.A. and you know, all the stuff you see on television and everything else. I mean, he was out in the middle of nowhere at the time of that's what this was considered. There was no electricity here on this property. They had to bring it in from the closest line was about a mile down the road. And then he had to drill a well, and he had pumped water in from a creek that he had to boil so that it wouldn't get everybody sick. And then he had to put in septic tank, the whole thing. I mean, and this cabin was thrown in on this property. It was not considered a valuable addition to the property. It was built in the late 1800s, and it was kind of, you know, they threw it in like a free toaster kind of thing. And Gracie's dad modified this. In fact, he had to live in his truck while he was modifying this because there were so many mice in here. And over the years, he added on to it and did some things to it. And we told him many times to give it a Christian burial. Just put it out of its misery, but he wouldn't do it. And a lot of people have rented this place out over the years from him that have lived here and kind of looked after the place. And it was really tiny. I mean, how tiny? You had to eat a large pizza outside, small. And so when we moved out here, we renovated this thing and made it more handicap accessible for Gracie. And it was, and we did a nice job with it. I mean, it really worked. I mean, it's a little uneven. It kind of leads. You don't want to use a level with any type of fervor in this cabin, because, well, you know, it's not there. But we thought about what to do. Should we build a house, a whole house, or should we modify this cabin some more since we've already got it this far down the road? And it worked for Gracie, but it was just really small. I mean, you could make a grilled cheese sandwich from the bathroom. I mean, it was a small place. And it was functional, but I couldn't see us living in this for many, many more years. And his house that Gracie and her parents had is a really nice home, but it's not accessible. And there are a lot of stairs and so forth. And so I didn't see that as being a possibility. So we developed this plan to renovate this cabin and make it more accessible. How many of you all had to retrofit things for accessibility? It is frustrating. It's expensive, and it doesn't really come out right like you'd like it to. But you sometimes have to make these decisions on the fly, and so that's what we wanted to avoid, because we had done that in Nashville, to our home in Nashville. And Gracie, it was accommodating, but and she had to accommodate it a bit. But I wanted something that really was built around Gracie. And wide doorways. And when I say wide doorways, I mean you know, drive a go-kart through them. And, you know, I wanted a shower that she didn't have to dangerously transfer, you know, from her wheelchair to a shower bench over a threshold and deal with the door. And so we built this really big shower that she could wheel her wheelchair into, and she has a chair that she can get wet. So she can transfer to that chair, wheel into the shower, take a shower by herself. You know, independence is everything. And she was able to do that for the first time this week. But she had not seen all this. She'd seen pictures and she had planned a lot of the things that we've done for it. We picked the color out for the walls in the hospital over the phone, using pictures with the contractor, who is a wonderful guy that lives out here, and he really specializes in remodel jobs and doing a lot of design work of logs and so forth. So it really looks very Montana, old log cabin, but it's very updated. So this whole new addition, we just tore out a wall and went and built a whole brand new addition, then connected the two buildings. So half of this was built in the 21st century and the other half was built in the 19th century. So it's an odd pairing, but then again, so are Gracie and we're both an odd pairing anyway. So but she came in to here, and then we, you know, with her being in the hospital for 5 months. So she walked in and I wanted to stop for a moment. She walked in with her walker and on her prosthetics, and she was able to come into the house and just see her place. Now, we made a decision to, for example, in Nashville, we had a den and we had a living room and we had a dining room and we had a foyer and you know, just the normal stuff you have in a house. Well, we made a decision on this one that Gracie is so bedridden most of the time. I mean, she's not just able to get out to do stuff, and she's stuck in her bedroom. And so we wanted to build a bedroom where she could receive guests more comfortably. So we built this massive bedroom with a seating area. We have no den and no living room in this area. It's this huge room that's our bedroom, but we didn't want like her dresser and closet and stuff like that in that part. So that's separate. And she can wheel into that and has a full wheelchair radius. It's a roll-in shower. I mean, roll-in closet. But we made the decision to put our piano in the bedroom. And we have a grand piano that belonged to her aunt that she had given to us. It's a beautiful piano. And we've had it for many, many decades. And I've logged a lot of time on this thing. And so that's sitting there in the bedroom because I didn't want Gracie to have to leave the bedroom to go make music. I wanted to bring the music to her. And so that first night, she walked into her closet. She looked at me and said, "That's a big closet." And it is. But again, in fact, we didn't have a lot of shelves. Everything is hanging. We have double stacked hanging, and she won't be able to reach the top without help, but she could see everything because if she reaches from her wheelchair to a shelf, for example, she's off balance and I don't want to risk her falling. So now she can look at it and tell what she needs and what she would like and so forth. So we did all that. And then she got settled in for bed, and we have these massive windows. And I told the contractor the big thing I want is accessibility, space, and windows. I want her to be able to see this view. And she's got this view of miles and miles and miles. The peaks are 50 miles down the valley. You can see the tops of them on a clear day. That's a pretty big view. And she has these massive windows. And it just opens up her world, and the very high ceilings and so forth. And it just, she'd gone from being contained in one bedroom. Well, first off, she's in a hospital for 5 months. And one of those rooms, she's in there for 3 months and didn't even have a view. And then she was kind of stuck in a room up at her dad's place while we were finishing this up. It just wasn't the same. It was a nice room, but it was just kind of stuck there. And now she has space. And we've got a big fireplace, and I had a fire going, and I'm sitting at the piano, and she was singing "Great Is Thy Faithfulness" on her first night. So it was really quite a moving time. And I tell you what, we'll take a break and I'll finish telling you some more stories, but I think you'll enjoy it. But this is Peter Rosenberg. This is Hope for the Caregiver. Thanks for the indulgence on that. We'll be right back.
The following is not an actor, but a real life story from Trinity Debt Management. My debt problem started probably about 2016. I needed my life to change financially. I called Trinity and I ended up joining based on high credit card bills and high interest rate. And my counselor at Trinity has been great, and Trinity has been helping me to get on the right path of paying off these credit card bills, bringing down the interest rate. They have consolidated my bills into one low monthly payment. And now I am finally getting out of credit card debt. So I just want to say thank you, Trinity, for showing me a better and greater path.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Sharon, and soon I will be debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Who were the sons of Issachar described in 1 Chronicles? The Bible said they were men who understood the times, with knowledge of what Israel should do. These ancient warriors possessed a gift we desperately need today: biblical discernment to interpret events through Scripture rather than popular opinion. What would it look like if Christians today possessed this same spiritual insight? While some focus on politics and culture, Christians can understand that we're witnessing a spiritual war. We can see beyond the headlines to recognize how current events are setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. God is calling His people to be like the sons of Issachar, understanding the times as He prepares for Christ's return. With this privilege comes great responsibility to be faithful watchmen, proclaiming that Jesus is coming soon. This is Tim Moore wishing you Godspeed.
Jesus is returning soon. To find out more, go to ChristInProphecy.org.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, Hope for the Caregiver.com. Hope for the Caregiver.com. That music, by the way, coming in, that's Rob Galbraith and the Not Ready for First Service Players. I got an email this week about somebody who wanted to know about the music that comes back from the breaks. Well, that one is Rob Galbraith, and a longtime friend of mine in Nashville, producer, great producer, and got a lot of session players on that one, and it's just a great groove. The others, that most of what I use is the theme song that I wrote with my friend Chris Latham, who's a wonderful producer and engineer in Nashville, a Grammy Award winner. We wrote this together, and I've used this as my theme song from the get-go, and I've had various iterations of it. One of it Chris played on and I played on, and another one Jeff King did, and we kind of updated a little bit, so you'll hear various versions of it. But anyway, that's a little piece of music trivia, if you wanted. I try to play things that I've done over the years as bumper music, and I'll weave in some other things periodically, but most of the stuff, it's stuff that I've done, and that's my theme song. I don't know what the name of my theme song is. It's the theme of Peter's show, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. Hey, if you want to come up with some ideas for it, go ahead. I've got all I can say grace over just maintaining the caregiver keyboard and everything else that I do. But speaking of the caregiver keyboard, I left off telling you about Gracie singing the first night in our new edition. And I know I'm going off a little bit on this, but you have to excuse us because Gracie's been disabled since 1983. And we have constantly been chasing our tails, trying to accommodate her disability as it progressed. She didn't just plateau at one place. She was walking when I met her. She had both legs. Then she had a lot of surgeries to fix both ankles at different times. Then she gave up her right leg. So now she's a single amputee. So she's got a prosthetic leg, but she can get around pretty well. But then she became a double amputee. Then we had to make accommodations for that. And then as she started getting more and more pronounced disabled with not being able to walk very well, bedridden most of the time, it just became very problematic for her. And so I really spent some time on this addition for her. And the contractor and all the workers will tell you, I was down here all the time with a wheelchair going through the doorways. And then I spent a lengthy amount of time adjusting the bed. I had to actually cannibalize two beds because she needed a lower profile And but she also needed the handrails for the bed to be able to pull herself up to get up. It's not a rail like a hospital rail, but those kinds that you do it. But they don't. They have them that they slip under the mattress. You know what I'm talking about, and then you belt it across the bed, that kind of thing. They're not as strong as you'd think, and so I actually kind of bolt them to a piece of plywood that's under it. So I had to kind of cannibalize some things, and she had to have the wheelchair at the same level of the bed to be able to transfer safely and so forth. And then I tried it with everything, with the toilet, with the shower, with everything, to make sure we had enough space for everything. So I spent an awful lot of time. And so that first night, though, she's not thinking about her disability. She's lying in bed. I'm sitting at the piano. And again, I did not want her to have to leave the room to go make music. It's such a big part of our life. And she told me, she said, growing up, I always wanted to have a piano in the bedroom, but I thought it would be kind of decadent. I said, well, baby, welcome to decadent. You've got not only a piano in the bedroom, you've got a pianist. And I'll play whatever you want to play. And I started off with and she started singing. She said, it's too low. Well, that's the key she always sang it in. And she was singing, used to sing it a lot in what you call the chest voice. But then she was flipping into head because her voice has been so out of shape. And she said, can you raise the key? So I raised the key. And I'm doing this basically, no lights on. We have a little tiny bit of a glow from a light on the TV. And that was about it. And so then she said, now, can you go a little higher? So I went up a little higher just to let her know that I could. And you have to understand, when I met Gracie, she's an incredible singer, but she's also a very good musician. She understands music. She understands music theory. She understands music. She was majoring in music. She used to be a double major in piano and voice. But after her professors told her, said, look, you can't do both. You need to pick one and be excellent at that one. And after her wreck, she couldn't play the piano very much anymore. Her fingers she's lost some feeling in some of her fingers and so forth. And that's always troubled her. And I said, well, baby, I'll play anything you want. So I played it in her key. And she wasn't thinking about her disability. She was thinking about this song. And that she has a place that was built for her, and she was so grateful. And she just belted out, and it was just lovely to hear her sing. And I know I've already done this hymn on Hymns That Every Caregiver Ought to Know, but every caregiver ought to know this hymn twice. And she just let loose. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, the mercies I see. And I thought about this a lot as I was working on this house. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And I thought, what is the command I have as Gracie's husband? To love her as Christ loved the church, who gave his life for her. But I also thought about this as I was doing this, and I'm just sharing this with you. It's just you and me, okay? Don't tell this to anybody else. It's just you and me, all right? But as I was doing all this work, I couldn't help but think about, well, what did Christ say to his bride, his wounded bride? He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And what I've done is for Gracie is just a poor, poor imitation of what awaits us, of what our Savior's done. And yet I share a little bit in that excitement, because when she walked in, her eyes she was almost in shock. She had not seen any of this. She had seen pictures. She had planned it out in her mind, but she hadn't seen anything. And it really is lovely. The guy did a great. Again, half the house was built in the 1800s. The other half in 2025. But it's it bridges the centuries, and you can tell where the centuries meet, because that when we blew out that wall to go to the old cabin, it's, you know, a little uneven and so forth, but that's okay. It works. Where she is nothing but beauty, and she just looks out over this massive landscape with these massive windows. And when I say massive, they are big. There's 2 5x9s, so it's 5x18. And then she's got two the same on top of that, but they're only 2 feet tall. And then at the bottom, they're only 2 feet tall. So the whole front wall is just massive. And the ceiling goes up to logs, and it's like 19 feet. I wanted her to have the space, as much space as she could have, that she didn't feel claustrophobic. I watched her in that hospital room, and she felt so claustrophobic. All she had was a view as a brick wall for months. And I've watched her struggle being bedridden. And I thought, this is just unacceptable. And I can't do much. I couldn't afford to build the whole house. So I have to stay over in the servants' quarters in my part in the 1800 house. But for this room, I wanted it to be something special for her. And it is. And the next morning, we got up and I built her a fire before she got up. And I played... And I play it like I play things, a little slower. But we sang that song a lot in the hospital. I would come to her in the morning. I'd say, you know, this is the day, when I'd show up at the hospital every morning. And I said, this is the day. And she said, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I heard her sing that morning. And, you know, in the morning, your voice is still a little bit froggy, whatever, but she still sounded great. This is the day that the Lord has. Rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord had me. And so this was, you know, music is a part of our life. And I wanted the piano to be in the room with her so she could have music anytime she wanted. And it was really quite meaningful to see that and to build a fire for her. It was kind of snowy this week, and so she had a fire, and I'm playing the piano for her, and she's had such a hard life. It was a joy to be able to do this for her. You know, and if it's a joy for me, imagine the joy that Christ has for what he's prepared for us. The stuff I've done is not even worthy to be compared. But the principle still remains. If I'm called to be like him, then I'm and sharing his sufferings, I'm also sharing a little bit of that joy. You know? I don't suffer on the level that Christ suffered. And I don't have the joy on the level that I can understand what that he has. I can't process that yet. One day, hopefully, I'll be able to process that a little bit better, but I have a taste of it that I can think, oh, this is joyful. I've made a place that's for her, that's built around her. Everything is for her. And it's when you've had to basically make do with stuff and be limited in what you can do, even in your own home, for so long like she has, to have a place that was intuitively for her. There's a little tiny sink in the bathroom. She has the vanity of the bathroom, and then she has a little tiny sink. It's 11 by 7. It's very tiny, and it's on the side of the shower, and it's there for her to be able to roll into in her wheelchair. She can wash her hands before she goes to bed at night from her wheelchair. She doesn't have to worry about banging into the vanity. She didn't want a handicapped vanity. Or, you know, if we had that in one of the other bathrooms that she could wheel under, but she didn't care for that as much. So she wanted that. So it's a little tiny one. So we got that. It's little things like that that make her life so much easier. And it was a joy. But imagine the joy that Christ has of what he's doing for us. And that's hope for this caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberg. We'll be right back.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? Jesus is coming back, and He doesn't want His people to be unprepared. To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy here on American Family Radio. Join us Sundays at 11 a.m. Central as we reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know Him.
I'm not saying in every circumstance, but usually when a believer is wrestling or struggling with anxiety, mental anguish, mental difficulty, the root of that anxiety is that the believer has allowed himself to believe a lie. As believers, we have the unique ability to abide in what is true.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
When God warns, we'd better listen because time runs out. Through Noah, God warned 100 years of the impending flood. The people heard, they considered, they rejected, and they died. God repeatedly warned Israel. They heard, they ignored, they suffered. God's been warning America. America doesn't care. Do you? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with another Stand in the Gap Minute. What's the result of continually ignoring God's true warnings? In Isaiah 5:24, God says that God's love will be turned to anger, His blessings to judgment. Murder and death of the people will increase. Enemy nations will threaten to attack and ultimately will attack suddenly, overwhelmingly, and all trusted defenses will fail. It happened to Israel. It will happen to America if we don't soon change our way. It's past time to look to God, repent, and beg the mercy of God. While God's full of mercy, His justice will prevail. Join with us to communicate God's truth at standinthegapmedia.org.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver, hopeforthecaregiver.com. That's my theme song right there. That's just kind of the guitar vamping on. That's Jeff King on the guitar vamping. And then you hear the B3, the Hammond B3 organ with a Leslie speaker. And for those of you who know what one is, there it is. And you can hear it. And it's beautiful. And if you don't know what it is, it's a staple in certain genres of music, and it just sounds marvelous. Started off in the church, as most of rock and roll and the blues did, and it has its origins there, but it's been appropriated by some of the best musicians out there, and I just love Steve Winwood. Billy Preston, the fifth Beatle, they called him. And he would play the organ, and he would stick a fork in the key and hold it down and just wailing on that note to get up and start dancing around. They go back and pull the fork out and keep playing the keyboard. And just an amazing talent. I can play the keyboard. Okay. I'm a decent pianist and I can hold my own on that and I can play a keyboard. Okay. But playing an organ is different. It's just different. Playing a pipe organ is different in church. I don't particularly like to do it. I can do some things. I do okay with it, but I would rather not. And playing a rock organ or a blues organ, playing in that kind of stuff, it's just a special feel for it. It's hard to describe how different that is from being a pianist, but it is. Take my word for it. It is different, and I wish I were better at it. But I'm focusing right now on being the best pianist I could be. And I figured if I could just do this, like Gracie, she chose voice or piano, and you had to kind of pick a lane. Some guys are utility players and they could just play the snot out of everything. I shouldn't say snot on radio, should I? Sorry. They play it very well and they can do that. I am not one of those guys. I have to kind of pick my lane. And I want to focus on piano. But anyway, that's my theme song. And I love the version that Jeff did of that. And so I thank you all for the letters and the emails about that kind of thing. If you're interested, I love to talk about that because that's part of my life as a caregiver. You know, we can't all be just talking about, you know, bedside commodes and wheelchair and accessibility and insurance and all that kind of stuff all the time. We have to have a life. that if there's one thing I want you to get out of this program is to have a life, even while you're serving as a caregiver. I am 25 yards away from Gracie at pretty much all time, unless I make arrangements to, even if I run to town, I say, okay, now you stay right here. And sometimes I'll take her leg and her wheelchair away from her so she can't get up and fall or get hurt or anything like that. I say, you stay right here until I get back. And there was a time that I didn't have to do it that way, but I do now. And that's okay. And I have some people that maybe come in and sit with her for a little bit. I have a lady that can come in for a couple hours. And then I have one lady that comes in on Thursdays at, you know, from 9 to 2 so I can get some other things done. But for the most part, it's just me. And it's been this way for a very, very long time. Now, how do I put my life on hold for this long? Well, you can't. But I've had to be very creative. And I thought, okay, I got to make a living. I've got to do my job. I've got to provide for her. I've got to cook and clean and all the kind of things I do. But she doesn't benefit from me being a husk of a person. So I work hard in that circle. Like I said, I'm tethered by 25 yards or so. But in that 25-yard orbit, I am formidable. Because I subscribe, not because I'm so wonderful, but I subscribe to the belief that I have work to do. I must produce. I must be productive at whatever level I can to the most of what I can. And that's something I want my fellow caregivers to understand. I know that we're constrained. If you're listening to this show, you're a caregiver. You're most likely constrained. And it's weighing heavy on you. But it doesn't have to diminish you. I have been published hundreds of times in numerous places and just this year, and just since June, I've been published in AARP, Fox News, and Blaze Media. Those are three very different organizations. I've had a new book that's come out. It's my fifth book. I do music. I do all these things, and I do that 25 yards away from Gracie at pretty much all the time. Unless very structured of what our life has to be. And I'm not saying it again to say, well, look at me. I'm saying, look, well, I am saying, look at me. And look at me for this reason. If I can do this, you can do this. Because I don't have any kind of special, you know, anything. I'm just somebody who's committed to this belief that I, as a caregiver, serve my wife better if I'm in a healthier place. Well, what makes me healthy? Makes me healthy to produce, to be active, to do things, even while limited. So if we got to move a piano into the bedroom to make music, so be it. I'll build a bedroom that we can move a piano into. Period. End of discussion. That's going to happen. And there are times when I'm writing and I tell Gracie, I've actually had to use this phrase, Gracie, hold on, because she'll call out to me. And I said, Gracie, hold on. I need my whole brain here for just a minute. I've actually had to use that phrase because I'm writing, and I wrote an article for AARP this year, and I started off with, I write in short sentences because I have to. When I do this program, you know, I'm having to do this on the fly a lot of times. And I do a live show on Wednesday on another network, and then and this show I'm not doing live anymore. I want to go back and do it live. We couldn't find a producer that would get up early Saturday mornings and do it with me. But I'm still recording it every week doing this show. And I have to do it in segments. And then I'll hear something and I'll have to go in there and take care of Gracie. She needed something, this and this and whatever. And I got to do it. Well, how's that any different from what you do? We have to do what we got to do. But I am committed to being productive in this. And I've seen the benefit in this article that I wrote out there. I think you'll find it very meaningful. It talks about a meeting that I had with somebody as I was crossing the street to go see Gracie in the hospital. I shared some of that many months ago when it happened. And I wrote about it. And I would encourage you to take the time to go out and read it. You can see it at my website. You can go out to Blaze Media, theblaze.com, and you can read it. And it's called Not Every Battle Needs a Microphone. But I'm sharing this because I want to encourage you to do the same. Whatever's going on with you, there is a place where you can be productive. You can do things that are soul satisfying. Maybe not in the way you'd like. Maybe not as much as you'd like. I'd certainly like to do some more things. But in that 25-yard arc that I'm in, I am plowing that ground as fervently as I can. I take piano lessons, and I push myself to learn how to play better. I'm studying theology. I have a theology tutor who listens to this program every week, and we talk about the show after the show was over. I want to make sure I did okay, and he gives me a passing grade. He gave me a scare this week. He's had a very serious heart issue, but he's come through it okay, and he's a caregiver. And he's a wonderful theologian, a former retired professor. And Michael's just a wonderful guy. And he pushes me. I mean, pushes me hard. And I'm studying to show myself approved. I can't go to seminary, but that doesn't mean I can't learn. There's so much out there that I can do. And I can't sit down and read it like I used to, but I can listen to it while I do my chores, which is what I do. And when I'm driving, when you drive a lot in Montana, because, you know, it's pretty vast different distances out here. But if I have to, like, I have to go to Bozeman and pick up certain scripts of hers that they could only do there. And somebody has to stay with her while I go do that. And I will go, and it's about, 60 miles one way. And I'll listen to at least a couple of teachings and sermons and so forth to do this, to push myself as hard as I can. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know what, cranks your engine, what you enjoy doing. I love learning. I love writing. I love music. I do like horseback riding, and I've had to learn a few construction skills around this place, and I've had to learn how to do some things because, just quite frankly, if I don't do it, I got to pay somebody else to do it. But I did some things. And I would go back and forth to check on Gracie, and I'd get a call, and she'd say, hey, I need your help, because she can't transfer right now by herself. It's too dangerous, and so we want to make sure somebody's there to help her transfer to her wheelchair. And so I'd have to stop what I'm doing and run back up the hill to her dad's place where she was staying while we worked on this thing. Now we're in the same roof. So, well, we were in the same roof there, but I didn't have to go down the hill to work on this place. So I'm working here, and that's kind of nice and easy. So I just go to my office in the studio, which, by the way, is handicap accessible, so she can wheel into my studio, and I'll have a mic set up for her when she's ready, and she'll sing here. But I'm going to continue to push myself, because I am of the mindset that she benefits greatly if I'm a healthier person, emotionally, physically, professionally, all those things. There are constraints that I have that maybe some people don't have. But what do I do with those constraints? Do I stay resentful about them? I mean, I tried that for a while. It didn't work out too well. Look, I make no secret about this, y'all. I have failed on every level. And I tried that. It just doesn't work. It's like, remember I was talking about in the last block, I having to fix some things in this old cabin. I have to go around and make sure that the holes are plugged. The mice will get in, or the cold air will come in. It's a drafty old place. You got to make sure the holes are plugged. And sometimes the cold will come in massive changes. You know, we get a massive cold front come in. But more often than not, it's just kind of the thermometer just drops down one at a time. And it sneaks up on you. And all of a sudden you realize, hey, there's cold air coming in here. Hey, there's a little bit of resentment kicking in here. I better plug this up. I better deal with this. Otherwise, I'm going to be paying for it. You see the correlation? These are things that I'm learning. I do work with power tools some, but I don't like to, because I get real queasy around saws. I just do not want anything happening to my fingers. And nobody else does either. They all get queasy when I'm around tools and saws and all that kind of stuff. So I just whacked my thumb with a hammer the other day, and it's just now starting to heal up a little bit. So if you hear a couple of clams on the caregiver keyboard, you'll know why. But these are things that I am learning still as a caregiver, and I've got 4 decades of this. But I've learned that Gracie benefits when Peter is healthier. So what about you? What about you? You may be tethered like I am, but are you formidable in that arc? Are you producing to the max of what you can to show God that you're taking this seriously, to show you, to study and show yourself approved? Something to think about. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back with our hymn that every caregiver ought to know. I'll never forget walking into the hospital room after Gracie had her second amputation. Both legs are gone now. And she looked at me. She said, I know what I'm going to do. And I was kind of startled. I said, well, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to help provide prosthetic limbs to my fellow amputees and tell them about Jesus. And I said, well, baby, can we get out of the hospital first? But she never let it go. And for almost 20 years, we've been working out of Ghana, West Africa. We treat patients all over there from other countries that come there. We send supplies. We send teams. We sponsor patients. We work with a prison where inmates volunteer to disassemble used prosthetic limbs so we can recycle the parts. All of this because Gracie trusted God with her heartache. We've got a huge shipment of supplies that is being loaded up right now to go out soon. Would you help us do it? StandingWithHope.com/giving. StandingWithHope.com/giving. There's prosthetic feet, knees, pylons, sleeves, adapters, all kinds of connectors. All of these things we are sending over there so that people can walk. We're going to point them to Christ. Help us out. StandingWithHope.com/giving.
Hey friends, it's Jessica Peck, Dr. Nurse Mama, as your 1 minute parenting coach. How often do you read scripture out loud with your family? Psalm 78:4 says, we will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. Reading aloud to your family is one of the most powerful ways to pass down the truths of God's word. It's not just about knowledge. It's about nurturing a legacy of faith. This week, ask yourself, am I intentionally sharing God's story with my family in a way that connects their hearts to His? Are we making time to reflect on His praiseworthy deeds together? Reading out loud helps us to not only teach, but to bond, reflect, and grow together. What if you set time each day to read out loud and make God's truth a living part of your family story? Try it out, and I'll see you on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show here on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad to be with you. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We're continuing on in our series of hymns that every caregiver ought to know. And today's hymn is one of my personal favorites. Let's go to the caregiver keyboard here. But this one, behind this beautiful hymn, there's a real thread of sadness. This was written by a Presbyterian minister. A lot of our hymns are written by Presbyterian ministers. And his name was Maltby Davenport Babcock. Maltby Davenport Babcock, born in Syracuse, New York. Remarkable man. Brilliant, athletic, musical, the kind of person who seemed to do everything well. He pastored several large churches, and people flocked to hear him preach because he had a rare gift for weaving together theology, poetry, and the wonder of God's creation. He loved to walk in the hills around his home in upstate New York. Before he'd head out, he'd tell his wife, I'm going out to see my father's world. And he ended up writing a 16-stanza poem about this. And after his death, a friend adapted several stanzas into the hymn we sing today, which is da 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 da, which, by the way, is the opening theme for The Hobbits in The Lord of the Ring. Howard Shore composed that. Da 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 da. That's the Hobbit's theme, but here's just an aside there, okay? But here's, this is my father's world, one of the most beautiful hymns ever written. This is my father's world, and to my listening ears. Now, I like to put in that flat 7 right there. What that means is I just borrowed a chord from another key, but it really does something to your ear, doesn't it, when you play that? Because here's the original voice. Wait, but I'll play the Hobbit's theme again. This is my father's world, and to my listening ears. See, they just go to the 5 chord, but I like going to that flat 7. This is my father's world, and to listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my father's world, rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. And I love that one. Gracie was singing that just the other night. I was playing that before we went to bed. And it's nice having a piano in the room. I will tell you that. It is very nice. Because where we live, there's so much of nature to see that's so beautiful. And all of creation cries out to the glory of God. We're without excuse. It's written everywhere. And this guy, Maltby Babcock, really loved nature. He loved to just go out and be in it. And I get that. I'm the same way. But what we sing is the last verse is the one that gets me every time with this hymn. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget. Here it is for us as caregivers. You ready? That though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. Can you sing that with me? That though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. And then you go to this chorus. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, will be satisfied, and earth and Him be one. This is my Father's world. All the battle is not done. For Jesus, who died, will be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. Isn't that a great hymn for us as caregivers? And it's kind of sad because this wonderful minister, he went over to Israel. It was called the Holy Land back, well, it's still called the Holy Land, but this is back in 1901. And on the way back, he became very, very, very sick in Naples, Italy. And I don't know all the details, but he had a severe fever and possibly depression. And at 42 years old, he took his own life. Now, some people, everybody was stunned, but I think a lot of people thought it was just in delirium that he did this. I don't think there was this longstanding oppression that of mental illness that took his life. I think he became very, very sick with whatever he had, and he got some kind of thing, and it just in delirium, he took his own life. And that just breaks your heart, because this wonderful minister, wonderful writer and speaker, and yet he left this tremendous legacy, and I'm grateful that he had it. But I think the thing for me when I hear his story is to remind ourselves that, you know, we need to look in after our preachers, and that all of us carry very difficult things. We never know what's going on with someone else, but I'm grateful for the legacy that he left. And this particular hymn, and specifically this verse, and this is the one that I just wanted to leave you with as a caregiver today. As you go through the day, that this is our Father's world. Oh, let us never, ever, ever, ever forget. And this is the part for us as caregivers, that though the wrong seems off so strong, and it does, I know it does, but God is the ruler. This is my Father's world. The battle, is it done? because Jesus, who died, will be satisfied. And earth and heaven be one. Part of our series of hymns that every caregiver ought to know. A particularly good one for us as caregivers, isn't it? This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. I want to end with something a little bit different today. I did an interview with Gracie a while back, and I wanted to share that with you. This is Peter Rosenberger, Hope for the Caregiver, hopeforthecaregiver.com, which is a ministry of Standing with Hope, and here's Gracie talking about that. Gracie, when you envisioned doing a prosthetic limb outreach, did you ever think that inmates would help you do that?
Not in a million years.
What does it do to you?
I would have ever thought about that.
When you go to the facility run by Core Civic and you see the faces of these inmates that are working on prosthetic limbs that you have helped collect from all over the country that you put out the plea for, and they're disassembling, you see all these legs like what you have, your own prosthetic
and
legs.
And arms, too.
And arms.
Everything.
When you see all this, what does that do to you?
Makes me cry because I see the smiles on their faces, and I know what it is to be locked someplace where you can't get out without somebody else allowing you to get out. Of course, being in the hospital so much and so long. When I go in there, and I always get the same thing every time, that these men are so glad that they get to be doing, as one man said, something good finally with my hands.
Did you know before you became an amputee that parts of prosthetic limbs could be recycled?
No, I had no idea. I thought we were still in the 1800s and 1700s. I mean, you know, I thought of peg leg. I thought of wooden legs. I never thought of titanium and carbon legs and flex feet and sea legs and all that. I never thought about that. I had no idea.
Now that you've had an experience with it, what do you think of the faith-based programs that Core Civic offers?
I think they're just absolutely awesome. And I think every prison out there should have faith-based programs like this, because the return rate of the men that are involved in this particular faith-based program and other ones like it, but I know about this one, is just an amazingly low rate compared to those who don't have them. And I think that says so much. That says so much about just that doesn't have anything to do with me. It just has something to do with God using somebody broken to help other broken people be whole.
If people want to donate a used prosthetic limb, whether from a loved one who passed away or, you know, somebody who outgrew them, you've donated some of your own. What's the best place for them to do? How do they do that? Where do they find it?
Please go to standingwithhope.com/recycle, and that's all it takes. It'll give you all the information on there.
What's that website again?
standingwithhope.com/recycle.
Thanks, Gracie.
Take my hand, lean on me, we will stay.